We're not going to read the whole
two chapters, but we're going to try to skim through it and get the idea of what's happening here in Acts chapters 3 and 4. Let's begin reading in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. The remaining portion of this chapter goes on to tell us how Peter stood up, and he began to glorify God, and he began to preach a powerful message to all who would hear there at the temple. And God did an amazing work, and the Holy Spirit worked in hearts, and people repented. The call in verse 19 was, "Repent ye therefore and be converted," and many were that day. We'll continue the story in chapter 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power, or by what name, have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people, and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would take this message and use it in the life of our church. Lord, I ask that you would help me to deliver your truths clearly, that you would take me out of the way and that you would preach this message. Lord, we want to follow you. We want to glorify you. You are worthy. And God, I pray that you would take This time that we spend here tonight and use it in all of our hearts, it's a work that only you can do, Lord. And so we ask you to do it. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We are living in a time where fear is paralyzing our churches. The cancel culture seems to be getting louder every day, doesn't it? By the way, I'll just pause here. I'm amazed at how God puts messages together for Sunday. Pastor and I did not really discuss what we were preaching. We did a little bit, maybe on Friday or Saturday, but didn't share many details. And God put these messages together. I'll continue on. The cancel culture is getting louder every day. Silencing us is only one of their many objectives. The enemies of truth and righteousness have been on the warpath, honestly, for decades, haven't they? And God's people have retreated. The power of God needs to be on display in our day. We need God to do a work in our hearts that banishes our fears. We need God to do a work in our hearts that emboldens our faith. We need God to do miracles that no one in our family, no one in our church, no one in our communities could deny. We need that kind of power on display. What we need is undeniable miracles. I'd like to preach a message tonight entitled Undeniable Miracles. And as we think about that, there's kind of a sub-theme, or actually more so, the message is about having boldness. Undeniable miracles. Do you want to see God do undeniable miracles like we read about here? They saw a notable miracle had taken place, and they could not deny it. As much as they wanted to, they had to admit, this man has been healed. Do you want to see undeniable miracles in our day? I certainly do. Undeniable miracles do not just happen. You see, God requires of us faith and action. And when you combine those two ingredients together, you get what I believe is boldness. Faith and action is boldness. Bible boldness is an outward display of your inward faith. It is when God's people place their confidence in the power of God and step forward at His command. Boldness is faith in action. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, how in Christ Jesus our Lord, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. And so as we think about what God could do in our midst, and as we dream about the miracles that we would love to see God do, miracles that would, Lord willing, be undeniable by everyone who comes in contact with it, as we think about those things and we consider how the Bible challenges us to be bold witnesses for our Lord, tonight, you and I must choose to place our confidence in the power of God and move forward boldly for our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, I want you to notice with me, boldness is needed. Boldness is needed. You see, God is looking for people of faith and action in our day. He is looking for boldness. Young people in our ranks, they need to see the older people who are here, who have walked with the Lord for many years. They need to see your bold faith. They need to be encouraged by you. The world needs to observe that we as Christians are strong in our convictions and logical in the principles that we adhere to. This boldness must be a part of our lives. And so I ask again, do you want to see undeniable miracles? I do. Boldness is needed. I think we can look at the Bible and see that undeniable miracles are a result of having bold faith. I think of the example of the burning fiery furnace in Daniel chapter 3. There, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego boldly refused to bow down to the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And what happened? God delivered them. Wow. In a miraculous way, God delivered them, and no one there could deny it. I think of the example of the battle of David and Goliath. Another undeniable miracle took place in 1 Samuel chapter 17. The young shepherd boy boldly confronted that giant, and after the giant had done his said all his words and defied the armies of the living God, God used that young shepherd boy to bring a miraculous victory to the people of God. And no one could deny it. I think of the example of an undeniable miracle found in 1 Kings chapter 18, the showdown on top of Mount Carmel. Elijah boldly stood against the false Baal worship of his day. God sent fire from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, and he did it in front of all the people. You see, no one could deny it. I think of the example of Hezekiah's victory over King Sennacherib. 2 Kings chapter 19. Hezekiah received a letter from the army of Assyria spelling out the destruction of Jerusalem. And you remember how Hezekiah took that letter into the temple and he spread it before the Lord. He laid it there before the Lord and said, "This is what they say they're going to do. God, we need your help." And the next day, it was all dead men out there in the field because God destroyed that army. You see, Hezekiah didn't go and consult with his generals. He didn't go and work out his own strategy. He took that letter before the Lord and said, "God, this is what we're up against. And we only have you to save us." And there was a notable miracle that was done, and no one could deny it. I think of the example of Peter walking on water, Matthew chapter 14. Jesus saw Peter walking toward him on the water and made the bold request to be able to walk on water as well. And what happened? He walked on water, and no one could deny it. They all saw it happen. I want to see undeniable miracles. How about you? It's going to require some boldness. Boldness is needed. Number two, though, I want you to notice in our passage here how the boldness of Peter and John was noticed. Number two, boldness is noticed. So Peter and John were used of God to heal this impotent man. A man that everyone knew had been there at the beautiful gate for a long, long time begging to survive. And this man was healed. He was leaping. He was praising the Lord because it was such an exciting time to see the power of God at work. And Peter and John were taken before the Sanhedrin because they noticed the boldness. They noticed there was something different about these men. And in fact, you remember the Bible says they noticed that they had been with Jesus. It was obvious to them, the boldness that was on display. Boldness is very noticeable because boldness can be in your face. It stands out from the crowd. It's different. It's not normal. It's very noticeable. But just as a side note, not bold by the seal. Here's what I mean. Some boldness is as a result of feeding your flesh. That's not Bible boldness, and that's not the kind of boldness you and I should be having. We see this both outside the church and inside the church. Think of it this way. Outside the church, there's a lot of bold people in our day. I think of the past year and all the riots and all the different movements and all the activism that is taking place. We have seen a lot of bold people outside the church, and it's very sad. That boldness is because people are feeding their flesh. That's not Bible boldness. But I have even observed boldness, the wrong kind, inside the church. Maybe you've met a Bible thumper before, okay? You know, these people who have a boldness about them, but it's obvious that it's a flesh-driven boldness. That's not the kind of boldness we should be having either. And so not all boldness is powered by the same fuel. And we have to be careful. We must have Bible boldness. Not a boldness that operates on feelings, but a boldness that operates on faith. I believe a good way to determine if the boldness that you and I observe in someone else or some movement is the right kind or the wrong kind, a good way to determine is look for the characteristic of temperance to be with it. Temperance, self-control, a spirit of a sound mind. If we don't observe that, then it's flesh-driven boldness, not Bible boldness. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." You see, the wicked flee when their feelings of boldness go away, but the righteous possess a power that can never be defeated. So boldness is noticed. And here, the Sanhedrin, the rulers of the people, they definitely noticed. They couldn't help but notice the notable miracle and the boldness of Peter and John. What did they notice about them? Well, one thing that they noticed about Peter and John was that they had faith. They had strong faith. It says in chapter 3, verse 6, "Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Wow. There was strong faith there. It was an interesting time, a transition time in the history of all that God was doing, and I understand that. But there was faith at work. There was strong faith on display. "Rise up and walk," he said. And it was noticed that they had strong faith. How is your faith today? I don't know about you, but I struggle with having small faith. I do. I think of conversations that Pastor and I have had, even thinking about the future of the church and evangelism efforts, and I'll admit, I have small faith sometimes, many times, maybe all the time. Lord, increase my faith. I have so much growing to do. How's your faith? They had strong faith and it was noticed. But another thing that was noticed about their boldness was that they had strong words, not just strong faith. Look at verses 10 through 12. It says in those verses there, "By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Sorry, this is in chapter 4 if you've missed that. Chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. It says later there in that passage, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Those were strong words, weren't they? Boy, the Sanhedrin, the rulers of the people, they did not want to hear that. "You crucified him. There's no other way you can be saved except through this Jesus Christ of Nazareth." Strong words. Sometimes I'm scared to say strong words. How about you? Sometimes I'm scared to have big faith. How about you? Are you willing to speak the truth? When the cancel culture gets louder and louder, are you willing to proclaim what you know is right? When you have to open your mouth, when they force you to open your mouth? They had strong words. Not mean words, not unkind words, but truth. Just raw truth to the ears that needed to hear it. And their boldness was noticed. Not only did they have strong faith, strong words, but also strong evidence. This notable miracle had taken place. Chapter 4, verse 16, "Indeed, a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." They had strong evidence. God had done a work. It was very clear, and it was noticed. I think about what it could be like for Faith Bible Church to have its name in the headlines. I don't know about you, but that scares me. I think about what it could be like for this church over here next to the railroad tracks to start to really be noticed. And some of that scares me. Churches are noticed for different things. I would trust that we would be noticed for the right things, that our names would be in the headlines for the right reasons. But that scares me. Because it's really easy to sit here next to the railroad tracks and not be noticed. But friends, that's not what God has called us to. God has made it clear in His Word that if we live for righteousness and we speak the truth and we follow Jesus, we're going to have enemies and we're going to have people that notice us, and there's going to be people that don't like it. That can be scary. But once again, this spirit of fear is something that God wants to defeat in us. He wants to conquer that. And we need to choose to have faith with action, boldness. By the grace of God, it's noticed. You can't get around that. It will be noticed when you choose to have strong faith, when you choose to have strong words, when you have strong evidence, and God is doing a clear work. It's noticed. Faith Bible Church, are we ready for that? Number one, boldness is needed. Number two, boldness is noticed. But number three, boldness is nurtured. I want you to understand that God wants to do a growing work in all of us. I would testify to you that I struggle with small faith. And you do too, I'm sure. God wants to nurture our faith. He wants to grow our boldness. He wants to take us on a journey to where we are learning to walk closer to Him, in greater dependence upon Him and His power, rejecting our own strength, our own understanding, but leaning more on Him every week, every day. It needs to be nurtured. Boldness is something that must be nurtured. It's not something you rush into. It is a careful step of faith based on deep convictions that have taken time to grow in your soul. Your boldness needs to be nurtured, friend. Will you allow that to happen? Notice in chapter 4, verse 13, the Sanhedrin had the Peter and John brought before them. Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he spoke unto them those strong words. And then verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They realized that Peter and John were just normal guys. There wasn't anything real special about them. They were unlearned, ignorant men. They didn't have great degrees behind them. They didn't have many talents. They were just willing servants who had been with Jesus. You see, they had gone through a training process. They had spent those years with Jesus, hearing Him speak, watching Him do what He did. And they had gone through that nurturing time. And it had developed within them strong convictions up to this point and a boldness that was willing to have a strong faith, strong words, and God gave the strong evidence. You see, it was a nurturing process, and the boldness in Faith Bible Church, the boldness in you and I must be nurtured. Are we willing to let that happen? Let me pause and say this. God has gifted us all with different things. Some of us naturally are more bold than others. And some of us have more outgoing personalities. Some of us would rather sit back and listen to the conversation. And that's okay, and that's a good thing that God has gifted us in different ways. Pastor preached on that recently, how we're all very different. But God wants to use each one of us all the same. And He wants to take us where we're at, and He wants to nurture us, and He wants to grow us and use us for His glory. And we have to be careful that one person who's gifted in one way, or one person who has taken several steps of faith that another has not yet taken, we have to be careful that as we are advancing and we are walking with the Lord spiritually, that we don't get frustrated with one another. That we don't get look down on another brother who may be more timid than I or you. You see, we can't despise that. We have to choose to nurture them. We have to choose to encourage them. And the boldness that we must all have is something that God wants to grow in all of us, and it needs to grow in all of us. I think of someone recently who took in our church who took a step of faith and was a witness in a very unique way. And I won't give details, they're not here, but I was just so encouraged to hear about a couple in our church that took a step of boldness, took a step of faith, and God used them to spread the gospel. Would you allow God to do that in your life? Would you allow Him to nurture your boldness? Don't get frustrated at someone who hasn't grown to the point to where you're at. Nurture that person's boldness. Encourage them. Say, hey, let's be excited about what God could do. Let's pray for this together. Let's grow and obey God. Nurture each other's boldness. So boldness is nurtured. And we see here in this story how it's nurtured in several different ways. First, I want to notice that it comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit indwells you at salvation. Let's take time. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 1. You'll see this. We all know this truth, but the Holy Spirit, when you trust the Lord as Savior, He washes your sins away. When that happens, the Holy Spirit actually comes and dwells within you. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, the Bible says there, Ephesians 1:13, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Okay, so the Holy Spirit comes and dwells with you. There's other passages we could go to see that. God's Spirit dwells in you. But that does not mean that you are allowing the Holy Spirit to control or to fill you. You see, sin in your life prevents the filling of the Holy Spirit. And when that is in your life, you must confess your sin and yield yourself to God's leading and choose to obey His word. When you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, when you say yes to God and obey Him, the Holy Spirit does what the Bible calls fills you. You are controlled by the Spirit rather than controlling yourself. You're allowing God to control you, the Holy Spirit to control you. And we see that happening here in this passage. You can turn back to Acts chapter 4. And you recall in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them." You see, it was when the Holy Ghost was controlling him, when he allowed the Holy Ghost to control him, that he had boldness come forth. You see, it comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Also in chapter 4, verse 31, Acts 4, 31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." You see, when we yield ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit, boldness comes forth. Now, in verse 31, we didn't read all the way down there. We'll get to that as we continue on here and finish up more of the chapter so you get the whole context. But The people got back together and they prayed. And when they prayed, boldness was given to them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. The idea of yielding yourself is familiar to us. Yielding yourself to the power, to the control of God, the Holy Spirit. It's familiar to us when you drive, okay? You see that yield sign, and someone else is coming the other way. You're supposed to let them have the right of way, correct? So you submit your driving to theirs, and you must yield the control of your life to God's control. That's the idea. God lays something on your heart. God leads you by His Spirit to do something, and you say, "Yes, God, I will do that." Being filled with the Holy Spirit nurtures boldness within us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled or controlled with the Spirit." So don't be controlled with alcohol, but be controlled by the Spirit. And I wonder how much of your work for the Lord is done without the power of God, without His control. I wonder how much we do here at Faith Bible Church that lacks the Spirit's filling. If the Holy Spirit was taken out of this world, would our churches even notice it? You cannot be filled with the Spirit if you are saying no to the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "Quench not the Spirit." Let me ask you, have you done that? We all have at some point, but has that been your habit? I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. I have my plan. Here's my schedule for the week. I don't have time to go over to that neighbor. I don't have time to minister in that way. And you quench the Spirit. We need to be saying yes to the Holy Spirit. When we do that, boldness is nurtured. Another way we see that boldness being nurtured here in this passage, first of all, it comes from being filled with the Spirit, but second, it comes from being with teammates. Notice, Peter was not alone when he stood before those 5,000 people and preached the resurrection of Jesus. He was not alone when they threw him into prison. He was not alone when they made him stand before the Sanhedrin. John was right there with him. We encourage one another when we are together. We feed off of each other's encouragement and the boldness that God is growing in all of us when we are together. The Bible says in chapter 3 of Acts, chapter 3, verse 1, "And Peter and John went up together into the temple." It says in verse 4 of chapter 3, "And Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, said, Look on us." Chapter 3, verse 11. "The lame man which was healed held Peter and John." He was so joyful that he held them together. It says in chapter 4, verse 13, "They saw the boldness of Peter and John." Chapter 4, verse 19, "Peter and John answered and said unto them." You see, being together, encouraging one another, nurtures the boldness that we need to have. I think of the story of Caleb and Joshua in Numbers chapter 14. Together, they gave a good report and boldly challenged the people to trust God for the victory, while they were being threatened with stoning by all the unbelievers who didn't want to go into the promised land at that time. You see, it was Caleb and Joshua together that they were encouraged and they had the boldness. I think of the priests right there at the Jordan River, Joshua chapter 3. Imagine this. Together, the priests stepped into the flooded Jordan River. It was overflowing its banks, and my understanding about the Jordan River, it's not just a nice gradual slope into the water. This was a raging torrent, at least in the middle of the river, and they needed to get into the middle with the Ark of the Covenant as they were instructed. And the river was flooded at that time, and much of the Jordan River is steep banks into it. And the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, both of them at the front, they had to step in together, at the same time, together. And if one of them looked at the other and said, okay, after you, buddy, then they wouldn't have had the boldness. It wouldn't have happened, and the miracle of going across on dry ground would not have taken place. Those priests had to be together. And it was when they were together that the boldness was there, and they stepped. They stepped by faith into that flood. I think of Jonathan and his armor bearer, 1 Samuel chapter 14. Together they boldly trusted that the Lord was not limited to deliver by many or by few. They defeated the Philistine garrison together. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel chapter 3 once again. Together they boldly refused to bow down and worship that golden image. I wonder, would one of them have done it alone? Maybe. I hope. And we can find examples of people standing alone for God. I understand that. But we find many where they're doing it together. And it is a special thing when you can be with your teammates. And that nurtures your boldness. Paul and Silas, Acts chapter 16. Together, Paul and Silas were captured in Philippi and thrown in prison. At midnight, they boldly prayed and sang praises to God while the rest of the prisoners listened. Would Paul have sung alone? I don't know. Would Silas have sung alone? I don't know. But they were together. And one of them maybe started to sing and another said, you know what, that's a good idea. Why didn't I think of that? And so he starts singing along because they were together. And there may have been some other prisoners in another part of the prison that began to curse them and to yell at them. It may have started to cause a ruckus. But because they were together, their boldness was nurtured. And you need to see that being with teammates is so important. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You need to be here at church together with your teammates, because it nurtures your boldness to serve God. It gets you all on the same page. You see the vision that God is giving our church, and you say, you know what? We're in this together, and I'm for that. And so we see that boldness comes from being filled with the Spirit. Boldness comes from being with teammates. It's nurtured from being in prayer. Here in the passage in Acts chapter 4, The Sanhedrin finally threatened them. And look at verse 19. And Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. And skip down to verse 29. So that Peter and John had returned to the other Christians, and they began to pray together. And in verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. You see, the early church was praying for boldness. They had their selves yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit. They were spending time together, encouraging one another, but it was on their prayer list. They were praying for boldness to be granted unto them. And that is a prayer that I believe God wants to answer for us. Would we pray for boldness together? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, how it was Paul's prayer request as well. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I wonder if tonight you would commit to praying for boldness for your brothers and sisters here in this room. So it comes from being filled with the Spirit, being with teammates. It's nurtured from being in prayer, and also it comes from being sure of the will of God. Peter and John had no doubt that it was God's will for them to speak the truth that day. And we read how in verses 19 and 20, that they said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They understood their obligation to speak the truth, and that they were accountable to God. And if the human government, if the rulers of the people there were saying, you can't say that, they had to be obedient to God first of all. And so it was the will of God. They knew very clearly that God's will was for them to speak the truth. In verse 29, it says there how then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Excuse me, that's in the next chapter, chapter 5, verse 29. Okay, we ought to obey God rather than men. And so it comes from being sure of the will of God. And our time is up tonight, but there's a lot more about the will of God that could be said. When you are sure of something, when you know this is how God has led you, he's given this evidence, he's given that answer to prayer, he's put this in place, this is God's will, and I'm sure of it. When you know the will of God, boy, boldness comes from that, doesn't it? It nurtures your boldness. And so I wonder, tonight, do you see the need to have boldness in your life? Do you desire undeniable miracles to happen in our church? Are you willing to allow God to nurture your boldness? Or would you just say up front, that's not me? I hope you would recognize this evening that it has to be all of us. All of us. So what undeniable miracles could we see in our day? As you're sitting there thinking about undeniable miracles like Elijah on top of Mount Carmel or people being raised from the dead back in Bible times, you think, probably like me, you know, God doesn't quite work like that in our day, does he? But I would submit to you that undeniable miracles can still happen in our day. What could they be? Well, how about God providing for your family? That's a miracle. And there are times that God provides for our families, and it's undeniable. You look at that and say, there's no other way we could explain that. God did that. Do you want to see things like that happen? I do. We could see God convicting and saving our neighbors and our loved ones. That's an undeniable miracle when it takes place. God broke through that heart. God showed them the truth. I gave the message, or others gave the message as well, but we couldn't convince them. God convinced them. There's an undeniable miracle that we all observed. We could see that happen in our midst. How about God healing the sick? I believe that still happens today. Those are things that we could see take place. How about God growing our church? That would be an undeniable miracle as we watch God build his church here. It would be a miraculous thing to observe. God restoring a backslidden brother or sister. There's some people that don't attend here anymore. You know, God could do a miracle and restore someone. And it would be an undeniable one if God did it. How about God sending revival throughout this local area? Boy, if that happened, that would be an undeniable miracle. Let me tell you, it's possible. It's possible. There's a lot of Christians that live in this area. There's a lot of people of God, I believe, saved individuals who live in this area. We all need revived. And I believe a revival could happen, especially as things continue to get worse in our country. We're getting all that much closer to revival. And when it happens, it's going to be an undeniable miracle from heaven. You see, undeniable miracles can still happen in our day. And so as we close, I want to ask, are you ready to move forward, possessing the boldness that we see exemplified by the early church in Acts chapter 4? How about, are you ready to advance with the boldness of a Shadrach, Meshach, and an Abednego? Are you ready to display the confidence of an Elijah, David, Peter, or Paul? You see, it's time, I believe, that we observe God working some undeniable miracles. We're not going to be able to make those happen. It must be a work of God. But He wants to use us in that work. And it's going to require some faith and some action. Boldness. It's time that we start, friends, walking by faith and not by sight. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would take this message, use it in whatever way is needed. Lord, we'll close the service here soon, but I pray that Your Holy Spirit would just have free reign in our hearts and that we would yield to Him even tonight, that we would allow Him to fill us. Lord, help us to be nurtured. I feel like sometimes I'm just a baby in Christ, and I have so much nurturing that needs to happen in my life. And Lord, I think that may be true for our whole church. Lord, would You nurture our boldness? Would You grow us into what You want us to be for the cause of Christ? Help us to do it with temperance. Help us to do it by faith and not using the methods of the world and their boldness. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to just give you some closing remarks to help you think through what you can practically do with this message. And I want to ask maybe for a show of hands. If the Lord leads you to raise your hand, you're welcome to do that. I'm not necessarily watching, but I want to guide you as we close here. And I pray that you would be open to the Holy Spirit. And I wonder if maybe there would be some here who would say, you know, as I thought about undeniable miracles, future of Faith Bible Church, boldness of the early church, God challenged me that my faith has been pretty small. God challenged me in that way. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Good. Many hands. How about, would there be some here who would say, I've seen that it is time for me to set some bold spiritual goals in my life and trust God for those victories. Has the Lord worked in your heart that way? Amen. Good. How about this? God convicted me about the need to be praying together more. That's me. God convicted me about that. Amen. One more thought. Would there be some here who would say, I want to be more sensitive to the control of the Holy Spirit in my life and yield to His leading every day? Good. Good. Wonderful. Hands all over. Lord, these are just testimonies of how You are working in our midst. And God, I pray that as we go from here tonight, we would yield ourselves to You and that You would strengthen us. Lord, that You would give us a confidence. Outside these walls and in places in our country, there's some very bold opposition. But God, we see that behind a lot of that boldness is fear and cowardice because they don't have the real power. They don't have Your power behind them. They have a lot of feelings and flesh. God, help us to have Bible boldness, I pray. And we ask for undeniable miracles to take place in our church in the coming months and years as we obey You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, I would ask that you come and close.